We're going to continue our study in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, if you'd turn there, please. You know, we've been dwelling on this idea the last few weeks about what true faith is and what it looks like. That's what he's describing. And we're going to continue looking at that this morning. We're going to do a lot of reading some verses. And I want you to see, as we read the verses, I want you to pay attention to a couple of things. First off, look at 11:1, because I'm going to take this off of that, off of these verses. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Here we have faith, how it acts. Faith is a foundation for hope. As we read through these different instances of faith who God has approved, I want you to see first the hope. And as a result of the hope that they had, look at the conviction of things, even though they can't see how it's going to work out. That's how faith operates. That's how true saving faith operates. And for you and I, to gain that kind of faith, how do we do it? All right, faith comes by hearing. I heard someone, and hearing by the word of Christ. So, you and I have got to hear and pay attention to the word of God. That's the only way you're going to gain it. And all of these people are people of old. And he's going to make a comment about all that, but there's a couple other things we're going to look at as we go through this. Faith being this foundation of hope, Paul told the Romans in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope. True faith always gives you an assurance. It gives you the ability to never lose hope. And the hope is not what you want it to be. The hope is based on the promises of God and God doing exactly what he says he's going to do. Look down right quick at verse 6 while we're here. He says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. There you can see the unseen. What about faith there? You've heard? Yes. And that you put a conviction that he is. He does exist. Now, what I want to say real quick is that faith is not, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. That's not faith. In James chapter 2, he speaks that demons believe and shudder. So just for someone to say, oh, I believe in God, on what level? Like the demons? Or do you believe in God from the standpoint that I've got a hope with him, that he's going to do what he says he's going to do, and I expect him to do that, and I even know it's going to work when I can't see how? That's the faith the Lord is looking for all of us. And if you don't have that kind of faith, what do you learn? You can't please God. It's impossible. God's not pleased with people. Well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. That's not what he's looking for. He's wanting to see some convicting actions in your life to show there is this conviction within you, within me. And then he begins to go through places like Noah, dealing with the unseen, in reverence for God. He built an ark. He took God at his word. He didn't have to ask God to explain it. He just took God at his word. Then he goes through Abraham. Abraham went no idea where he was going, but he trusted God calling him to go, and he went, knowing that God would work everything out. Now, one of the things that I find kind of interesting, you know, these people are wanting to do what? They want to go back under that old law of Moses. And you could almost hear an interaction between the Jews that want to go back and the people of the time. You know, you call Jesus your Messiah, and the Messiah has promised to be a king of peace. Why are you people all persecuted if your kingdom is a kingdom of peace under this Messiah? See, try to cast doubt on them. Or where's your temple? Let me tell you where our temple is. We show you our temple where we go to meet God. Where's yours? See, you can see the doubts that they could cast upon it. Or where is your king's throne? Our king's throne is in Jerusalem. Where's yours? See, it's all unseen. Or then you may hear him say, what are your laws? Guess where our laws came from? God wrote them by his hand on tablets of stone. Where's yours? You've got some men talking out here. That's your God, that's your laws. And so you can see in all of this, the Jewish system was based totally on the physical. And the Hebrew writers let us know that system was what? It was a copy, and it was only a shadow. It wasn't reality. And so you can see the pressure that they get put under through all of this. You know, what would they do? What would the Jews do if they lost their physical? What would they do? And they did. You know, Jerusalem was destroyed in history 3 times. What do you do? Well, there went your physical temple. So everything was based on physical, on the scene. And God based everything through Jesus on what? The unseen. And are you convinced that that's true and that's right? Let's continue on. Look down at verse 13. Speaking of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. How do these Old Testament people living under a cop in his shadow? How did they react to the things of God? Did they get to see the reality of the Messiah? See, they didn't see any of that. They didn't see the death of Jesus literally publicly before them. But what did they do? What did they have? Faith in the promises. So here's the promises of God, and they welcomed them, even though it was still far into the future. And they embraced it because they knew their God, the God who made these promises. And this is what faith does. And so if it's a... How did they die? He says here in 13. They died in faith. Now, what would that do for you? If you die in faith, what do you receive? What did they receive? the promises of God, he fulfilled every single one of them. They weren't left out just because they were under an Old Testament shadow system. They lived by faith, by this operating faith that God's looking for, not some physical copy and shadow that's obsolete. Now that you have that, he says there in verse 13, he says that they welcomed them from a distance. They knew it was real. How? How did they know it was real? God gave it to them. God made a promise, and they knew it was real, that when God speaks, that's the matter right there. And they had a hope. They had a foundation because faith gave them that. And they had a conviction, even though they couldn't see it. And they saw him only from a distance. And they walked and followed God. This is how faith operates. This is how faith works. You know, sometimes we don't pay a lot of attention to things that we say. And it reveals a lot. Let me give you an illustration of what I mean. How you doing today? Oh, I'm upright. That's a lot better than the alternative. What are they saying? What's being said in statements like that? Sometimes we need to be aware of what we're saying. It's better than the alternative. What are we seeking? A home in heaven. And you have that home how? Faith in the promises of God. So being upright is better than the alternative? Is that really true? See, what are we living by? Are we living by this faith that'll save us, or just I believe in God faith? There's a big difference. You know, we sing that song often, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Are you singing that song of faith or just words repeated? So you got to look at those kind of things. And you need to think about those things. Look at verse 14 again. For those who say such things make it clear that they're seeking a country of their own. What did they make it clear? Yeah, they were seeking heaven. They were seeking the promises of God. What do you and I make clear in our faith? Do you make that clear? That's it. That's the resting place. That's the abiding place, and Jesus secured that for us as he's our high priest. You know, as he shed his blood, as he's brought us to God, he appeared to God on our behalf. See, this is all this faith that we're talking about, and that's why he's going through it. Look at verse 15 and 16. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. What if they were thinking about the country that they came from? They can always go back. Why do you think people, when they come into Christ, and then time goes by, and they go back? They go back into what it was before, to things that were before. Why do people do that? They really never left. Yeah, faith is the issue. They've lost faith. They don't believe it anymore. They don't have a conviction. they don't have a foundation. Continue on. Look at verse 16. But that, as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Excuse me. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. How does God feel about people who walk by this faith? He's not ashamed of you. Isn't it good to know that God wouldn't be ashamed of you? You can call me your God. I'll take that all day from you. See the crucialness of faith? Let's keep moving on through. We got a lot to cover here. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. What did God do to Abraham? He tested him. Yeah, he tested Abraham. And what did he call Abraham to do? Yeah, give up your only son. And God made the promises through whom? He made it to Abraham coming through Isaac, right? Does it make sense that I offer up my son as a sacrifice when all the promises were coming through him? Does that even make sense? Sometimes things don't have to make sense, but if you've got this foundation of hope in God and a conviction of the unseen, look what Abraham did with that. Look at verse 18. It was he whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered, 19, that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from whom also he received him back as a type. Could God do it? Did he ever raise anybody from the dead? Yeah. He rose Jesus, didn't he? As the promises continued. So here's Isaac, here's Abraham. Verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. What did Isaac do? Yes, he blessed them. He told them of the promises. You know what real faith does? Real faith is what gives you confidence to speak about the future. Because God said it would be this way. And so here's Isaac. He did the same thing. Continue on, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. What kind of picture does that give you about Jacob? A faithful? I mean, can you imagine leaning on the top of his staff? He wasn't strong. But what did he blessed them. And what did he do? He worshiped God. Even as an old man having difficulty standing, he worshiped God. What does faith give you the ability to do, people the ability to do? To worship God. Why do people don't want to worship God? Why don't they want to assemble to worship? Let's talk about it. It interferes with their life, which is what's the problem? There's no faith. See, there's no faith in the promises of God. They're living for the now. Well, this is what I feel like today. Faith is what gives you the ability to worship God, even in weakness. It takes that kind of faith. Let's keep moving. That's a good point too, Chuck. They don't recognize their dependence upon God. We need him. Look at 22. Again, let's go 22 into 23. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph in worship, leaning on the top of his staff. 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bow. What did Joseph do? Was he promised some things of God about the future? That there's going to be this land you'd go to? So what did Joseph want? I want to be in that land. Take my bones and make sure you put them in the land God promised. See, even upon that, what's he looking at? He's convicted about the promises. See, it's unseen. He didn't know about it. All he did was he was given promises from God, and when he passed away, he made sure he let his sons know. Take my bones to the land God promised us. Faith did that. Continue on, verse 24. Well, let's 23. I don't want to miss that one. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. What did the king of Egypt say? Kill all these children. What did Moses' parents do? Can you imagine taking a little tiny baby and hiding him? But we get an insight that you don't get reading in the text in the Old Testament. What's the insight? Okay, what does he say is the insight, though? They weren't afraid of the king's edict. The king said, this is what's going to happen, and faith kept trusting in the promises of God, and I'm not going to fear. You see what faith does? A true blue saving faith keeps fear at bay. And wasn't that some of the things Jesus talked to his disciples about? Why are you so fearful, O men of little faith? See, he was calling their hand, trying to get them to see. Fear, you've got to go beyond fear. Faith does. That's what it does for you. It gives you some stability. It gives you some footing. And so they hide Moses for 3 months. Let's continue on. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What about Moses now? He's the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. What's in line for him? He was going to be the next Pharaoh, a Jew. He was in line for that. And you know what he refused? I'm not going to be the son of a Pharaoh's daughter. No, he sided with the Hebrew people. And he did it how? By faith. Look at the rest of it. 25. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of the treasures of Egypt. Or he was looking to the reward. Well, look what this faith did for Moses. If we could say it in an easy way, faith is what allows a person to say no. No. Rather than go and have it made in life and everything is good and easy, I want to be with God's people because the promises of Jesus were coming through the people of God. I want to be on that side, not on the side of comfort and pleasures. So faith gives you the ability to say no. Keep moving here. Verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. What do you see one more time there? What'd you say? He was fearing God. He didn't fear the king. He feared God. And all of these things, you know, we don't see this a lot of times when you read back in the Old Testament. But he's filling in the things of God's approval of this inspired writer. So guess what faith led him to do? He left Egypt. Out of all of that pleasure, out of all that greatness. And he was looking one place. He was looking to God. Sure, Moses did have doubts, but what he did when he had his first encounter with God, do you remember in the wilderness? What did he do? Take those sandals off. Why? You're standing on holy ground. So what did Moses do? He did it, and he says he bowed low to the ground. See, there was this reverence and respect for God and what God was saying. So he had, there was this faith there the whole way through. Let's keep going. 28. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he would not be, who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. What did faith do for him there? How in the world could you say, put some blood on the doorposts and around and I'll pass over you? And that night, what would you have thoughts of if you're in your house? Confidence that, you know, this assurance, there is hope. If I do that, there's hope in this deal. This is how a convicting faith, a trusting faith works. Yes, good point. Yes, we're seeing the after result. It's what you're saying. Verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted, were drowned. What do you learn there about faith? This is a big one. Okay, one thing in particular. There you go, that's it. God made a distinction between those who are of faith and those who are of not faith. And he didn't spare. What do you think eternity at the end of time is going to be like? Yeah. You think God's going to make a distinction at the end? Yeah, there's going to be a distinction made. You and I need to make sure in our lives that we are working on faith. A true, genuine foundation of hope and a conviction, even though you can't see it. I mean, they looked. What's it going to look like? How'd you get dry land at the bottom of the sea? See, he just went through. And the Egyptians thought they were bold enough that they could follow. God said, had enough of that. Those of faith went through and made it. Let's keep going. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. What do you learn there? Well, there was a judgment on Nineveh. Or Jericho, I'm sorry. There is a judgment on Jericho. So what happened by faith? The walls went down. They walk right in. God promised them, you're entering this land. And here they go. Look at the power of faith. Look at, that's what God's looking for in me and in you. Continue on. Verse 31. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. What about there? What did faith do for Rahab? It saved her. It saved her, and she wasn't destroyed with the rest of the disobedient because she came and put her trust in God. See, a trusting conviction. So this is how faith works. Let's keep going, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, and David, and Samuel, and all the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Keep moving. Look, listen to this. 35, women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Right quick, what does God never promise? Things are never going to just be easy all the way. A lot of times we think, God's not going to let us get hurt. Is that how we think of things? You know, is that the truth? These people escaped. How? By faith. Obeying, listening to God, putting some hope in God, trusting God's promises. And, you know, they were tortured. But guess what? They didn't give up. See, there's that conviction, that trusting conviction. Torture, but I'm not going to give up on that. Keep moving. Look at verse 36. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. How far did they have to go at times? Imprisonments, scourgings, being in chains. 37. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Think about that one. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Many of them didn't even have homes. 38. Look at what God speaks about them. Men of whom the world was not worthy. How did God see those people? The world is not even worthy to have them around. That's what faith does. That's what faith is. Wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. My goodness. Anybody in here this morning would like to go live in a cave? How about a hole in the ground? You know, you think about this. It wasn't things of this life that they wanted. What were they looking for? The promises that this architect of God has something better awaiting. It's not about this life. It's not about this earth. It's not about the comforts that go on, but we're talking about some real testing of faith. Keep moving. Verse 39. All of these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. And what was at the end of that? They didn't get what was promised. Still didn't come for them. Then what kept them moving forward? Faith. Yes. Verse 40. Here's why. Because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Look back right quick to chapter 9. Talking about all these Old Testament people. Look at verse 15. Nine works better. 9:15. For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. What about all these people? They didn't receive the promise back there. But what happened? Okay, what happened to them all through Jesus? They received the inheritance because they walked by faith. They had that trusting conviction and a hope that God would do exactly what he says he's going to do. So when you and I encounter difficulties, and we are, what better be there? Faith. And I'm going to throw this in as a side note. This kind of faith generally cannot be developed right at the end of your life. It's a life. It's a life lived all the way through. And a lot of times people think, well, I can get it at the end. Most people can't. They can't come to this convicting, trusting hope. So what do you learn out of all this? Do we need to work on our faith? I think I do too. We need to work on faith. The faith of Bible proportion, biblical. You go ahead. That's a good point. All your life you've gone through pleasures, things you can see, and people around you. That's what you've put your trust in the whole time. And now you're at the end. You're about to face God. I just want to be sure I'm afraid to die. And they went all the way through suffering and being sawn in two and put in prisons and living in caves and holes in the ground. And they did it all because what were they walking by? Faith. Let's work on that. Faith comes from hearing. You've got to hear what's being said, and hearing by the words of Christ.